Well, Shabbat Shalom. Today, we're going to continue our series, the Red Letter Series. We're on 67 now. We did 66 last time. And if you'll remember, we did kind of that Route 66 thing where we kind of talked about that little trip and how you take a road trip. And when you take a road trip, it's just fun to all be together and sharing the time together. And I tried something a little different where I kind of went through those passages that we were dealing with that particular week in John 5. And rather than try to completely carve everything out of that, I just had a few comments and then we huddled up. I got a couple of really positive comments about that particular structure, and actually I think it lends itself well to this particular series. And for a couple of reasons, I've decided to go ahead and do that again today. For one, because I was thinking clear through until late on Friday that this was discussion week anyway. So we're going to make it discussion week, but we're just going to do it with our series. So my plan this morning is to pick us up here in John 6 and kind of go through this section of Scripture. I'm going to take it through the end of the chapter. I'm going to read through this and have my comments as we go along. When we come back around and have our discussion, I doubt we get through all this, so I may pick it up some more when we reconvene after our discussion week next week. There's a lot here, guys. I mean, there's just a whole bunch here. At one point, we're gonna hear the disciples kind of talk about, wow, who can understand this? This is a very hard saying. There's a mystery here that reveals really the heart and core, if you will, of the kingdom of God, of what Yeshua has accomplished on the stake and is accomplishing in the transformation of us as a church, as he's building the kingdom. I mean, there's just a lot here in terms of all of that. And I doubt very seriously that we will, you know, get through it all. But we're going to at least take a quick gander through it. We'll talk about some of it. And then, like I said, I may or may not pick it up again after our discussion week. As we look at John 6 here, we're going to pass by the first part of this because we've dealt with this miracle that he did with the loaves, where he had the loaves and the fish and he blessed it and it expanded and all that. We've dealt with that already in this series. However, you want to have this on your mind because it lends itself into where we are going to pick this up, okay? And I want to start today in verse 26. Yeshua answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." I'm going to change this over to I'm going to change this over to something to where we get rid of the, there we go, 26. Okay. "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on Him. And so we begin to understand right away what Yeshua is going to deal with here. This miracle that He gave them, they were out and away. They didn't really have a way to get to food, and He fed them, right? And so He's saying, though, that, you know, look, you're coming at Me seeking nourishment. You're seeking physical. And it was dual, because yes, they were seeking a meal, they were following Him, because hey, free food, you know, go see Yeshua, follow Him, right? But it's also dual, because they were looking for Messiah to be king, right? They were looking for all of the physical blessings that were going to come about at when Messiah came. All of those prophecies that are in the Old Testament, they didn't understand, as we just sang in that song, they didn't understand that those prophecies are going to come to pass, but they're going to come to pass in totality when the kingdom is in its fullness spiritually. They didn't understand. They ignored all of the prophecies about how the Messiah had to suffer, how He had to die and be raised, and all of that. So He says, don't labor for the food which perishes, but the food which endures to everlasting life. And He's going to give us this truth about Him being that life. They said to Him, verse 28, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God. This is it. You're looking at it, right? You need to believe. You need to understand what the Messiah must do. You need to understand that this is, you need to believe in what it is that I'm accomplishing here. And don't get distracted. You know, if you look fast forward and understand His perspective when He's speaking this, He's saying, don't get distracted later when you see Me die and think, oh, well, it's over. Because I was crucified. No, it's not why I'm here right now. I'm here to give you the bread of life. I'm here to give of Myself, right? Don't be looking for the bread that perishes. Look for what does not. Therefore they said to Him, well, what sign will you perform that we may believe? Okay, what are you going to do for us? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. So they're saying, well, what sign are you going to do? You know, You gave us this bread the other day, and they were probably thinking, well, this is just like Moses. You know, Moses gave the sign. Well, it wasn't really Moses that gave the sign, was it? It was God that provided the manna, not Moses. So they said, well, this is what happened. Now what's going to correspond to that? And so He answers in them and says, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you bread from heaven, but My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. So He's saying, no, Moses didn't give it. God gave it, and He's doing it again. Here it is. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they say, oh, well, fantastic. Let's have this all the time. And so He says, I'm it. Right? I'm it. I am the bread of life. He who comes to Me shall never hunger, and who believes in Me shall never thirst. And He says, believe Me. Now, can we wrap our heads around that? This was very difficult for them to understand. He says, I am the bread of life. Verse 36, but I said to you that you have seen Me, and yet you do not believe. I am the bread of life. I'm standing right in front of you. and yet you do not believe. He says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. And he says, I have come down from heaven. Just like the manna, just like God sent the manna down from heaven, he is saying to them, I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of the Father who sent me, that all that he has given me, I should lose nothing, but shall raise him up at the last day. I'm not going to lose any of them. You're not going to starve spiritually. He who believes in me will never hunger, will never thirst. This is very much a spiritual message that he's giving to them. He is revealing a mystery, something that is very much on the spiritual side, the spiritual scope of things. He says, this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. The Jews complained about him because he says, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Now this is getting back to the Jews and their perspective and, you know, why they crucified him. To those that would hear, he's giving a marvelous revelation. To those who would not hear, he's condemning himself to the stake. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then he says, I have come down from heaven? You know, they're all over there. You know, this guy's nuts. How is he saying this? They didn't get it. Right? And so he perceives that. He perceives it and he says, you know, look, don't be murmuring around. Don't murmur among yourselves. So I'm going to say some more here. I'm serious. They're murmuring and he's telling us here. They don't understand. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. See, they're murmuring. They're looking at it in the physical. And they're saying, hey, well, isn't this guy that we know where he grew up? We know his mom and dad. We know what he's done in the flesh. And how is he saying all these things? And they're saying, well, there's no reason to discuss this. There's no reason to murmur about it. I know the deal. You don't understand because the Father has not called you, has not drawn you to me. Those that the Father draws to me, I will by no means cast out. He says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. Look back in 37. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. In another place, Yeshua told us that he would never leave us or forsake us. Remember that? But these that are not being called at this time, they don't get it. So they're murmuring. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him at the last day. That is something that we have to really grasp. You know, we've talked about it quite a bit, so I won't belabor that. Okay, 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. So, if they've actually read what is in the prophets, in the law and the prophets, all of that was pointing to Christ. When we go back in our perspective right now, and read those scriptures, we understand that when it talks about by his stripes we are healed, and that he will be pierced, and all of these things. We understand that now. They didn't. But he says that those that are willing to be taught by God, that hear that and learn it, come to Yeshua. They will all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has learned, has heard and learned from the Father, comes to me. Why? Because all of that was written in the prophets is pointing to Yeshua. That's what he's telling them. He's saying that anyone, verse 46, not that anyone has seen the Father. They haven't seen the Father, except he who is from God, he has seen the Father. He's like, I've seen the Father. I've come from God. And most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. And so he tells them very plainly, I am the bread of life. Now, I'm going to read all of this together. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread, and he's referring to himself, which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. Very plainly, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Whew. I mean, here he is saying that he is the source of life. Can you really boil that down any other way? Has anybody got any other ideas about how to more succinctly put that? He is the source of life. Which means, and this is why I say this all the time, with the Spirit of Yeshua, you have life. Without the Spirit of Yeshua, you're dead. You're just dead. You're walking dead, man. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. They're dead. I am bringing you, what stands before you is the very source of life, the bread of life, the source of life. I have come from heaven and come down just like the manna came down, but that manna came down and they're dead. I'm coming down. I'm the source of life. I am God, coming from God. And if you believe in me, if you believe the prophets, and if you hear that and learn that from the prophets and understand who I am and believe me and accept me, you will have everlasting life. What a message he is giving to these people. But yet, you know, the Spirit wasn't poured out yet, so they're quarreling with each other in verse 52. They don't get it. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Okay, so he says, and he's talking, he's putting this out there, knowing full well that they're not going to get it. This is for us, guys. Okay, this is for everyone post his sacrifice. They'll understand it later. Okay, that, you know, the apostles even said that, you know, afterwards they began to understand. But he says to them, verse 53, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. We read this every year at Passover. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me. Abides in me, and I in him. To abide in Christ is to have him as your source, as your guide, as your rock, right? Verse 57, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. It's just another way of saying, again, He is the source. He's like, this is the bread which came down from heaven. He's just finishing His analogy where He started. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead, he who eats this bread will live forever. And He taught this, it says, in the synagogue in Capernaum. And His disciples heard it. They had not yet had the pouring out of the Holy Spirit yet. And they said, this is tough. Right? This is tough. Verse 60. This is hard. Okay, this is something that is spiritually discerned. You know, who can wrap their mind around what it is He's saying? He's like, He's the bread. He come down. He's like, I'm gonna lie. But what? They're not getting it. And He brought them to Himself in verse 61. Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples complained about this, and He said to them, does this offend you? Does this offend you? Why would He ask that? I believe that the disciples believed that He was the Messiah. They wouldn't have been following Him if He wasn't. They believed, you know, they said it right, you know, you are the Son of the living God. And they, so because of that, they were Jews as well. They had a certain expectation as well of what he was going to do. He's like, does this offend you? You're following me, and I'm saying these things to you, that you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. He said, this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where He was before? He's setting them up to understand later, isn't He? He's saying, look, what if you see, then you'll begin to understand maybe, right? What if you should see the Son of Man ascend where He was before? Verse 62. 63, if it is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning that who they were who would not believe and who would betray Him. And He said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. How many times do we look out in this world and wonder how it is that people can't see God for who He is? How they can look at a universe and deny God? How they can look at history and all the things and all the people and the witnesses and everything that transpired that prove that Yeshua, Yahovah, is God and deny it? Well, there's your answer. And that's why He says when He sent the disciples out to if the city doesn't, you know, accept you, just knock the dust off of your shoes and go on. Right? He tells us, don't cast your pearls before swine. This is why. Because He says, look, they're not going to understand unless it has been granted to them by the Father. Okay. Verse 66, and from that time many of the disciples went back and walked with Him no more. Here we have probably one of the single greatest revelations of the spirit world, how the Spirit works, what salvation really looks like, how it is accomplished. This is a just I don't want to say unbelievable, because for them it was unbelievable, but just a miraculous, wonderful revelation of monumental spiritual significance. I mean, how can you, there's not words to elevate this to the level that it needs to go to, and yet this example of understanding that unless God calls someone, they're not going to believe it. It's walked out, because here it is, this magnificent revelation, and where he ends it and says, well, unless it's been granted to them by the Father to believe it, they're not going to believe it. And then the very next thing in the Bible is, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. I don't know about you, but that should be, on one hand, very humbling, and on the other hand, very exciting. Because do you grasp what Yeshua was talking about here? Do you grasp the fact that without His Spirit residing in you, you have no life? Do you grasp the fact of how important it is to walk with Him, to be in agreement with Him, to abide in Him? Do you accept the fact that on Passover, when you take of His body, and when you take of that bread and that wine, that you are taking of His body and His blood, and that He is fulfilling exactly what He said here? Do you believe that? Because if you believe that, then you have to understand that that has been granted to you by the Father, to believe that. And without the Father granting that to you, you would not, and you would go back and walk with Him no more. So it's very humbling that it's not us that enables us to understand that. And yes, it's also very exciting to understand that we do, right? That God has revealed that. I'm telling you, I struggled with how to approach this section of Scripture. And if you'll notice, there's not any notes up here. There's no slides. There's no nothing. And the reason for that is because I prayed earnestly this morning that me and this group and the Spirit that moves through all of us would say to us, would teach us, would just expand what God has for us here. And that in no way, shape, or form would it be restricted by or anything by our flesh and our thoughts along a fleshly line. Because this is so important. And it is so central to our walk with Yeshua, to our love for Him, to our calling by the Father, everything. All right? Yeshua said to the 12 in verse 67, "Do you also want to go away?" And Simon Peter answered in him, so said, "Well, where would we go?" Where would we go? What would we return to? After laying out what you just put there, what else is there? Right? Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And And you know, if it was granted to them to know that, was it not? I'm not guessing about that. Yeshua asked them, "Who do they say we are?" And some said, "Well, some you say, whatever." They gave him, prophets and everything. And he said, and Peter says, "No, you're the Son of God. You're the Messiah, the Son of the Living God." And what did Yeshua respond? He said, "That was given to you to know that. God granted you to know that." Right? And so when he says, "We have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the Living God," it's declaring once again what's said in verse 65, that it was granted to them to know that. "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, before that has not come from the flesh, it's come from the Father." And so Yeshua answered and said, "Yeah, I chose you, the 12. And one is you, is of the devil." Because he knew there was one that was going to betray him. That's what I got. There's a lot here. And I think it behooves us to kind of circle up and just really soak in. Just kind of soak in this a little bit. The magnificent reality of what this means. Because this is how God says, "I'm going to redeem you." This is how he says, "I'm going to put my spirit in you." This is how he says, "I am going to move you from being dead to being alive." This is how he says, "I'm going to move you from being a physical creation to a spiritual creation." This is revelation of the spirit world and this, and how it is interjecting itself into our lives and creating the kingdom of God.